Good morning, everyone. We're going to get started and open up the Senate Committee on Judiciary. Thank you for being here on this Friday morning, bright and early. We have two bills that are before us. We have a work session that we're going to hold off on until Senator Cruz has an opportunity to get here, House Bill 4127. And then we have a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 4128. So why don't we go ahead and open up the public hearing on House Bill 4128. And Whitney, if you can give us an overview.
Thank you, Chair Brzozinski, members of the committee. This is House Bill 4128, and it is brought to us today by Representative Vega Peterson. There is a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact. This bill addresses a particular type of fraud related to immigration consultants or notarios. Some individuals represent themselves as an immigration consultant or a notary and deceive individuals into thinking they are qualified to give legal advice. This deception results in harm, including the filing of frivolous claims and monetary losses. House Bill 4128 does several things. It renames theft by extortion to simply extortion and expands that crime to include compelling a person to refrain from reporting unlawful conduct to law enforcement and adds reporting of immigration status as one of the means of inducing or compelling a victim of extortion. House Bill 4128 also expands the crime of obstructing government or judicial administration to include acting as an immigration consultant or a notary without authorization and with the intent to defraud. Finally, it adds qualification requirements for becoming a notary and authorizes the Secretary of State to deny, revoke, suspend, or impose conditions on a notary who has been convicted of impersonating a notary, obstructing government or judicial administration, or engaging in the unlawful practice of law, or if a court has found that the person practiced law without a license, or a court has found that the person engaged in an unlawful trade practice, or has entered into an assurance of voluntary compliance for purporting to be an immigration consultant without being a member of the state or federal bar. And there are no amendments.
All right, thank you. I've looked at our registration list and took the liberty of adding Representative Vega Peterson to it, so we'll be official. So, Jessica, once you've come on up, and I would ask Aaron and Peter to also come up. That we'll do a panel of three. That's all I have listed at this point. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I did not. This wasn't on the list.
Sorry for the paperwork. It's early on Friday.
So I'll start. Mm-hmm. All right. Chair Brzozinski and esteemed committee, my name is Joseph Gallegos. I'm the House representative from House District 30, which is Hillsborough and various areas close by. Just want to thank you for the opportunity to bring this bill before you. Last session, we passed House Bill 3525, which was co-sponsored by myself and Representative Vega Peterson, and that established a task force. And so this bill that we're looking at now is really an outcome of that task force. And it dealt with the issue of unlawful immigration consultants known as notarios and sought for find ways to amend the current statutes and give law enforcement tools to adequately combat the problem that is created by these folks out there who are fraudulently taking advantage of immigrants. So under Oregon ORS 9.280, only lawyers and federally authorized representatives may provide advice on immigration matters. Notaries are regulated by the Secretary of State's Corporate Division and are only authorized to witness a signing of documents and administer oaths. Yet a problem has arisen in many immigrant communities when individuals obtain a notary license, they advertise themselves as notarios. And the problem is that these figures are similar to attorneys in many Latin American countries and some European countries. Thus, folks who don't understand the law too well are duped by these individuals. And these notarios typically claim that they can do the work of an immigration or tax attorney and prey on immigrant communities who are unfamiliar with the law. They charge, and this is the issue, they charge their victims thousands of dollars for immigration assistance that they have no license to really conduct or expertise or training to provide. Additionally, these notarias regularly re-victimize those that they have already taken advantage of by threatening to do them harm or to turn them into authorities, for example. The question about how is this brought to us again. In the fall of 2014, the Oregon State Bar hosted a conference on the issue. It became clear that there was a statewide issue and that we needed some tool to combat this fraud. Immigration lawyer Dick Ginsburg and long-term community advocate called for an informal group that would begin discussion on this issue. I do want to mention that Dick Ginsburg died last year about this time, and he was literally a leader in the immigration law community in the state. And so we're very pleased to bring this on behalf of his memory. So based on the results of this informal work group, Representative Vega Peterson and myself submitted the bill that ended up in the task force, and so this is how we got here today.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Prusansky. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jessica Vega Peterson. I'm the state representative in House District 47 in East Portland, and thanks to Gallegos for talking about the background of this bill, how this came to be. So this bill implements the recommendations of the task force that came out of last year's House Bill 3525. This past summer, Senator Gelser and myself co-chaired the Notarial Fraud Task Force Committee. The committee was made up of people from all different aspects dealing with this issue, including Amber Hollister representing the Oregon State Bar Association, John Mirandis representing immigration attorneys, Judy Parker representing the Oregon Advocacy Commission's office, Aaron Knott representing the Department of Justice, Stephanie Engelsman representing the Oregon Criminal Defense Attorneys, John Haroldson representing the Oregon DAs, Bonnie Allen Saylor, who is representing advocates for low-wage workers, Keith Bickford from the Multnomah County Detectives Unit, Shan Pons and Lapsai representing ERCO, the Advocacy Group for Immigrants and Refugees, and Peter Threckel representing the Secretary of State's office. Over August and September, this group met three times, and during this meeting, we reviewed current statute and explored amendments to criminal and civil regulatory statutes in order to really get some teeth into the law to more effectively help law enforcement officers, Secretary of State's office, deal with this crime in a way that was effective. We discussed providing law enforcement with improved tools to fight notario fraud and expanding the Secretary of State's regulatory authority over notaries who engage in the unlawful practice of law. So this bill before you implements the recommendations of the task force and focused really on three areas. One, changing the statutes that deal with theft by extortion. Also, the regulations of notaries by the Secretary of State's office and the obstruction of justice clause. And so that's what you're going to see in the bill before you. In addition to that three-pronged approach, we also recommend continued education of both law enforcement and communities impacted by immigration consultant fraud to help keep awareness of this issue in front of folks. Council did a wonderful job of going through the different changes to those, and I'm happy to answer some questions. I also know that we have some folks here to testify in more details on those things as well. What I will say is this bill helps aligns Oregon with 11 other states that have already recognized the devastating impacts that immigration consultant fraud have on communities and are actively seeking tools to combat this fraud. There was a report that the task force put together that was presented to the committees during the summer. In the appendix, it goes through some of the details of the work that other states have done to address this issue. This bill unanimously passed out of the House Judiciary Committee, and it received unanimous support on the floor when it passed through the House. So I thank you for the opportunity to testify. I urge your passage of this bill, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Questions for anyone on the panel? I'm going to put a question out there. It may be the certified smart people coming up after us to answer it. I just wonder if y'all, through the work group, if you got any indication as to what's happening to individuals that have been accused of unlawfully practicing law. Have there been cases brought against those individuals through some other civil means?
Chair Prusansky, That was an existing law on the book, but I don't know what the history of that is, and perhaps somebody coming up next can answer that.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Aaron, Peter, why don't y'all come up? And while they're doing so, is there anyone else here today who wants to give testimony today on House Bill 4128?
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, my name is Aaron Knott. I'm the legislative director for the Oregon Department of Justice, and I have sort of a spotty voice right now, so I'll try to muddle through this. I'm here in support of House Bill 4128. I was a member of the task force. As mentioned by Representative Vega Peterson, this bill does three things. I'll make an overview of two of them and leave the remainder to the Secretary of State's office. The first major change that this bill makes is to the crime of obstructing governmental or judicial administration. And I'm sort of pitch hitting for DA John Haroldson in this section. He couldn't be here today. So this is a crime where the victim is really more the state than an identified person. In an obstruction of governmental administration, you don't need an identified victim. And John Haroldson talked about the importance of having some sort of a remedy to go after these really fraudsters, these notarios, when they're engaged in giving bad immigration advice, but you don't necessarily have a victim. The state has mechanisms for becoming aware that that conduct is occurring. You can do a sting. You can get eyewitnesses that didn't actually engage in that conduct. But it's a real problem in this area because victims can be so hard to find. They could be subject to adverse immigration actions. They may not trust law enforcement because they're afraid they'll be deported if they cooperate. So this gives a very important tool to take preemptive action against these notarios without waiting for them to actually devastate lives. Section 2 makes a change to the existing crime of theft by extortion, actually makes a number of changes. And because extortion involves threat, and this is something this committee, I think, has heard me say within the last week, whenever you're trying to regulate speech that involves threat, there are a lot of constitutional requirements. So I was asked to work very closely with Legislative Counsel Jessica Minifee on putting this section together. A lot of the modifications that are made to this section are made because theft by extortion is a very old statute, and the case law has moved a little bit over time. There's a defining case called State v. Robertson that we felt we had to pay a lot of deference to. To give you some examples of some of the changes we made, purely for that reason. Page 2, line 17, we redacted the phrase inflict any other harm that would not benefit the actor as a type of harm because we believed under existing case law a defendant would have no idea how to obey that section. It could be any harm on earth, and there's a general rule that statutes, criminal statutes, have to be specific enough that you as a potential defendant know how to obey them. So that kind of language is not as well-favored as it once was. In terms of the more substantive changes, however, first of all, we added services to the basic mechanism of extortion is you're being threatened with something, and in exchange, you either have to provide something or give something up. The way it's written now, conventionally, what you provide is property. We added services in recognition that you can be threatened into providing all sorts of things, transportation, labor, all sorts of things. We felt that that was an important modification. The other significant change made here is that we added the refraining from reporting unlawful conduct to a law enforcement agency, which is basically the if you don't give me blank, I'm going to turn you into the authorities. This is a dominant dynamic in notario fraud. Individuals that are already quite concerned about facing adverse action will confront a notario who they know is exploiting them and say, I know you're exploiting me. And the notario says, you know, you're right, I am. If you do anything about it, I'll make you disappear. And that is really a complete barrier to enforcement. It's very hard to get victim participation within that dynamic. The additional changes made by this bill are overwhelmingly housed within the Secretary of State's office, so I'll leave it to other panelists to explain them. I will be open for any questions.
Peter.
Good morning. Good morning. Peter Threlkeld, Director of the Secretary of State Corporation Division. Thank you for the opportunity to speak about House Bill 4128. So there was a question as to from the chair on other cases, and we're aware of, and it was presented in testimony on the House side that there were a couple of individuals down in the Medford area that are under federal indictment who had victimized 40 Oregonians to the tune of about $1.5 million. Neither of these individuals have ever been commissioned as a notary public in the state of Oregon. So they're a little bit outside of our jurisdiction there, but there is the potential for those individuals to have been impersonating a notary. We have a couple of cases that we're working on currently, and we're collaborating with the Oregon Department of Justice with individuals that have engaged in the practice of filling out immigration forms. A lot of times what we're noticing is that folks who are tax preparers also want to help people fill out other types of forms. And we've seen from one cases where it's maybe could be perceived to be a fairly innocent activity. And as we'll look at those and hear the explanation from the alleged notario, we'll take that into consideration. The Oregon State Bar was involved in some of those as well, doing their investigations. Again, these are the agencies that we work most closely with. It makes sense for us to partner and work together because each of the different agencies are approaching this from a different perspective in how they prosecute and regulate these activities. The Department of Justice comes at it from unlawful trade practice, which is their statute. The Oregon State Bar is dealing with it under unlawful practice of law. And district attorneys are dealing with it from the criminal aspect, and of course the Secretary of State is looking at it from regulating activities of notaries. So as was mentioned before, a notary is primarily there to witness signings and administer oaths. They have no authority to engage in immigration consultation, help people fill out forms. And just that simple fact, you know, of helping somebody fill out an immigration form makes you an immigration consultant under the law. So in some cases, it's an easy line to cross. And we'll look at the severity based on was there a substantial exchange of money for the activity, or was it just somebody being friendly and trying to help? Somebody that was maybe a customer, so those deal with some of the different approaches that are taken as to how those are enforced.
All right, questions for either gentlemen? Thank you. All right, so that concludes our public hearing on House Bill 4128. Do we have all the paperwork? All right, we're going to go ahead and open up a work session on House Bill 4128. And the chair will make a motion to move House Bill 4128 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And let's see, who would like to carry this?
I co-chaired the group, so I'd be happy to carry it.
Oh, that's great. I didn't see your name on here, so I figured that might have been the case that you were involved. So we have the carriers. Senator Gelser, we have the paperwork, and I'll go ahead and close the work session on House Bill 4128. And I'm going to go ahead and open up a work session on House Bill 4127. And Whitney, why don't you give us a little overview?
Yes, thank you, Chair Brzozinski, members of the committee. This is House Bill 4127 and is also brought to us today by Representative Vega Peterson. There is no revenue or fiscal impact. This pertains to the recent U.S. Supreme Court case that found couples of the same sex are entitled to marry to the same extent as couples of the opposite sex. House Bill 4127 establishes the state policy that any privilege, immunity, right, benefit, or responsibility governed by law be given to all married persons, regardless of if they are of the same or opposite sex. It also modifies statutes to contain gender-neutral language in relation to marriage. There are no amendments, and it is ready to move forward today if you're so inclined.
All right. So the chair will go ahead and make a motion to move House Bill 4127 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Any objections?
To Moving it to the
moving
floor?
It.
Yeah, I would be, I would object. I would just rather, I'm slow on the objection thing.
No, that's
sorry.
Fine. That's fine.
I would just like to see us look at kind of getting the state out of the marriage business altogether.
Okay. All right. So there, we had the discussion, and just for the record, we have an objection from Senator Thatcher on the motion to move the bill to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Any other objections? Motion carried. And Senator Rosenbaum, would you be our carry on this
one? I'd be happy to.
And we'll close the work session on House Bill 4127. And I believe that takes care of all of our work for today. My understanding that we're set for this coming Monday at 8:30?
8:30, that's correct. And we have several things on there for Monday.
Yeah, so 8:30 Monday, if y'all could be here as close as that 5-minute place. We have a lot of stuff that we're going to try to take care of. Remember that we have to move any legislation that we're moving out of committee by Tuesday. So we're going to be picking up some stuff that just came over this yesterday that was first read that's now been assigned to the committee. So we'll have a little bit busier day. With that, thank you very much. We're going to be adjourned, and we'll hopefully see everyone Monday morning at 8:30. Morning at 8:30. And we'll hopefully see everyone Monday